Christ is risen. Hallelujah. The story of Easter according to Luke chapter 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. I think I should just say amen, and that's all we do today, right? Because how do you follow that? There's nothing I could say. There's nothing anybody could ever say more interesting or more impactful than what we just read. So today I'm not going to give you any new information, right? It can be hard to appreciate something that you already know. I found that out when I was a little kid. My mom used to drop us off at school, and as we got out of the car, she would say to us, "Remember whose you are." She wanted us to remember that we belonged to a Savior who had redeemed us, who takes care of us. We belong to a Savior that we represent to the world. But I already knew that, so I would snap back at her sometimes. "Mom, remember whose you are. I already know that." Wrong answer, right? Well, my mom wasn't telling me that because she thought I didn't know it. She was saying that so I would know it again, so I would know it better, so I would remember it. So today, I'm not going to give you anything you haven't heard before. No new information. When I say Christ is risen, you don't say, "What? Really?" I had no clue. When I say Christ is risen, you say he is risen indeed. And that can be tough for us to appreciate sometimes. But if you've had a grumpy day the past week or two, if you've gotten some bad news in the last month, if you've been missing somebody, then you don't need any new information. You need to know the truth of Easter, that Jesus is alive. You need to know it again, know it better, and remember it. So for the next 15 minutes, that's our only goal, is to know this truth and remember it. The women were the first people to know that truth, to realize that truth, that Jesus was alive, and they found it out in a pretty peculiar way. Those women, they went to the tomb on Easter morning, and I would like for you to imagine yourself coming alongside them. What would you say to them as they walk to the tomb? Now, we, of course, know how this story ends, right? But they were right in the middle of the story. We know that Jesus comes back, but as far as they were concerned, Jesus rode into the city of Jerusalem like a king on Palm Sunday, and then he was accused of crimes he didn't commit, wrongly convicted, executed, and they had hoped so much from him. They had heard him preach, they had seen the miracles, they had kind of hoped that he was the Messiah, the one God would send to save his people, but now he was dead. And as far as they knew, that was the end of Jesus' story. So now they didn't know what to think of him. They didn't know what to believe, and they missed him. They just missed their friend. So they prepared spices. They were mourning for him. They were going to take care of his body the best way they knew how. And on Sunday morning, they set out early in the morning, probably because they hadn't slept at all that night, and they went to the tomb. What did they look like? In the pre-dawn twilight, walking on the road, what did they talk about, if they talked at all? What was going on in their heads? And what would you say to them if you came alongside those women? You could say, the tomb's going to be empty when you get there. But when they did get there and they saw the tomb, you know what their reaction was? Not joy, confusion. So you could explain it to them. Jesus is alive. That's why he left. It's empty because he's gone. And that would be good, but would they believe you? I asked this question to our church council this week. What would you say to these women? And one person said, you know, you're not going to need all those spices. Right? Yeah, you could be subtle like that. But we don't have to come up with the great answer for them, for those women, because God sent messengers to them, the angels, who gave them the perfect answer to restore Easter hope to their lives, the perfect answer to restore Easter hope to our lives. And the angels start with a question. They say, why do you look for the living among the dead? But there's a really easy answer to that question. Because he was dead, right? Because he died. These women know what it's like to have a hole in their heart. These women know what it's like to miss someone and be mourning for someone. And a lot of people in this room know that feeling too. So the angels give them the hope of Easter as simply as possible. He is not here. He has risen. And because Jesus is risen, it means that every Christian will rise again from the dead, that all of us will rise again, and so all those people that you are missing, you will see them again. Jesus is like the first fruit on an apple tree. At the beginning of the season, when that first apple shows up, you can be sure there are more apples coming. And because Jesus is risen from the dead, you can be sure there are more resurrections coming, and they are yours and they are mine. But then the angels said what is to me the most fascinating part of their message. And it's the part of their message that really turned the day around for these women. The most important part of their message. The angels said, no new information, nothing these women didn't already know. They said, remember? Do you remember how he told you? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. You know, if you only read the Easter story at the very end of the Gospels, you'd think, well, this resurrection thing is unheard of. No one could have seen this coming. But that's not true. Jesus told these women exactly what would happen. He told them how the story would end. They just forgot. They got so caught up in the gory details, the sad parts of the middle of the story, that they forgot the ending. That's what happens in a lot of movies. So some movies, they start with the end at the beginning of the movie. Saving Private Ryan is like that. It's a World War II film about one soldier from World War II trying to get home safely. But the movie starts with footage of him as a man doing perfectly fine at a good old age, safe with his family. You know the ending of the story, but still, as you watch that movie, audiences gasp and they cover their eyes as terrible things happen in the middle, because when you see all the gory, sad details in the middle of the story, it's easy to forget how it ends. That's just how we are. That's how humans are. And that's what happened to those women. Now, their walk to the tomb was unnecessarily gloomy, right? So if you think about it, they knew how it ended. If you picture them walking on the road to the tomb and you coming up behind them, they could have been jumping around singing, I know that my Redeemer lives, because they knew, but they forgot. Now nobody in this room is bothered by the fact that Jesus is still dead, right? We know that Christ is arisen. Right, that's not the problem that confronts us every day. But that doesn't mean that we don't have a lot in common with those women on their walk to the tomb. Jesus predicted his betrayal and his crucifixion and his death, and Jesus has predicted all the sad details of our life too. He said, in this world you will have trouble. But Jesus also predicted the end of our story too. But take heart, I have overcome the world, he said. Maybe Maybe we don't have to imagine ourselves coming alongside those women, because maybe we are those women on the road to the tomb. Maybe your road to the tomb, the middle of your story, it takes you through a clinic where the test results are in and they are not good. Maybe your road to the tomb takes you through family strife and bickering. Maybe your road to the tomb means that you get up early every morning because you're wringing your hands trying to get everything done so that you can take care of yourself. Maybe you're walking your road to the tomb right now alone, missing the companionship of someone you love more than you could say. And when we experience the gory details of the middle of our story, it is so easy to forget that Jesus has told us how our story ends. Our story ends just like his, with a resurrection and with eternal joy and with jumping and singing. But we forget. That's what humans do. That's how we are. So what if some new disciple came alongside you on your road? What would you have them say to you? Hey, hang in there. Not good enough. You know, God's doing this for your good. That's probably true, but it's really hard to hear in the middle of your story. So what if they just said what the angel said? Remember when Jesus said, "Surely I am with you always." Remember when Jesus said, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" Remember when Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life, and whoever lives in me will never die." Remember? You know, sometimes those things can seem like empty promises or like Christian cliches. And they are cliche if you've forgotten that Jesus is back from the dead. If Jesus is dead, our hope is hollow. There's nothing to it. If Jesus is in a tomb in Israel, then he is not with me always, and he is not with you in the hospital room. If Jesus is dead, then he cannot make sure that I'll be okay today and tomorrow and the next day. If Jesus is dead, he is not the resurrection and the life, and my eternal home is in a coffin. If Jesus is dead, he's a fraud, then we have no reason to believe anything he says. But if 500 eyewitnesses are right, if every leading historian in the last century who agree that this is the most verifiable fact in ancient history, if they're right, if all the prophecies from Holy Scripture are right, if Jesus is alive, well, then every promise he's ever made to you is so much more than a cliche. It is true, it is our hope, and it is the thing that will help us through the middle of our stories. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. There's this great scene at the end of The Lion King where Simba, he must be the lion prince, I guess, in the movie. He's kind of aimlessly wandering. He's throwing his life away. He's kind of happy-go-lucky, but he's really troubled on the inside. Not a good path, right? And his dad, Mufasa, who's already died, Mufasa, he appears to Simba in the clouds, and he's going to turn Simba's life around, right? And help him get through the middle of the story. But the way Mufasa does it, oh, this is what it looks like. Right? Remember that scene? Mufasa's in the clouds. And the way Mufasa turns Simba's life around is not by giving him something he's never heard of before. It's not by giving him a brand new information that changes everything in light of this new discovery. Now, Mufasa has James Earl Jones in his rumbling bass voice. He says, "Remember, who you are, Simba. Remember. And it was remembering that turned everything around for Simba. It was remembering what Jesus said that turned everything around for those women. And it will be remembering that turns our bad days around too. Except for I think that my mama is more wise than Mufasa. So my mama would say, remember whose you are. Remember that you belong to a Savior who died to take away all of your sins. Remember that you belong to a Savior who rose from the dead to guarantee that those sins are gone and that you will be in heaven. Remember that you belong to a Savior who lives forever to be with you always, to keep every promise he's ever made. Remember that Christ is risen. And when those women remembered that, it turned everything around. So what did they do? They ran back to Jerusalem to tell the other disciples. In fact, every Christian in the Bible who hears about the resurrection, they all do the same thing. They all go tell someone else. So if the primary thing Christians do is remember what Jesus has done for us, then the secondary thing Christians do is remind others of what Jesus has done for us. And this would be a great point in the sermon for me to say, now go tell someone who's never heard of Jesus before, or go tell someone who doesn't believe in this. Go on a mission trip. Go tell your unchurched neighbor. And that would be a great application of the Easter story. In fact, that's like the whole book of Acts. But that's not the first thing the women did. The first thing the women did is they went and told other disciples who were just having a hard time remembering that Jesus is alive. We don't have to imagine ourselves coming alongside women in the first century, because we come alongside struggling Christians in the middle of really hard struggles every day. People who believe in Jesus but forget the end of the story. I do it. You do. We all do it. And when I forget about the end of the story, I need you to remind me. You know what this looks like. It's when you're kid loses a game and they're hanging their head and there's just nothing cheering them up. It's when your spouse collapses in a chair at the end of a day and does the end of the day eye rub, right? It's when dad celebrates his birthday in heaven, but mom has the day circled on the calendar here on earth. In those situations, a hug, a listening ear, some quality time, those go a long way. But please don't ever think you need to come up with some ingenious thing to say that's going to cheer them up. They already know the awesome comfort of Easter, and so do you. So remind them. And when we remind people in those situations, sometimes they'll react like Peter did, right? And jump up and, oh, great, and run to the tomb and see that Jesus is risen. And sometimes they'll react like the other disciples who stayed sad for a while until Jesus worked on their hearts a little more. That's okay. You know, it would be great if we could live every day with Easter at the very front of our minds, and that's our goal, but until we get to heaven, we always forget. We always forget. So we have a chance every morning to remember Easter again. We do it. We do it when we remember the promises of Jesus, and we live out Easter when we remind each other how our stories end. Friends, Christ is risen. Alleluia. Amen.